again. Happy to be back here for the Vidyapeeth. So we are discussing 6th canto. We just started 6th canto. We completed about how many verses? 15. Kechit kevale we have just started. We have to start now. Okay. So I would like to welcome Shiv Shambhar Prabhu. So Shiv Shambhar Prabhu is we both did PT together. We were batchmates and one of my best friends. So one of the reasons I come to Chowpatty every week is to spend some time with him after class. So it has been his long term desire to study Bhagavatam systematically, and but he never got an opportunity. So he had, I don't know if you are aware, they have started a course for devotees who have spent at least 10 years in Brahmachari Ashram. For them, just like Thane, you know, 5 days a month course in GV. So he had registered for it. I sort of brainwashed him to come here. So he said that I just briefed to him that what's your desire. He said, I want to study Bhagavatam in depth. So I said, there it will be in 2 hours, one chapter will be completed. So he said, oh, that is too fast for me. And I said, why don't you come to? I mean, that's because after class for 4 days, you know, I can spend some time with him. Because in Chowpatty or in GV, you don't get time.
It didn't take much effort for you to convince before you
spoke it itself, I was convinced. So, for those of you who may not know Shiv Shambhar Prabhu, one of the humblest souls that you can ever see. Bhagavatam is glorification of devotees. Supreme Lord. And his service attitude is appreciated by every single person, those who know him. He, on one of his privileged services is he massages all senior devotees who need the service, and because of which he has had the opportunity of rendering this service, so such a personal service, to many, many Prabhupada disciples, sannyasis, and they know him personally. Like just recently, Murijan Prabhu had come, so he went personally to Juhu, and when he was in Chowpatty and when he was in GEV, all the time rendering personal service to him. And he knows him so well. Every time Murijan Prabhu speaks with Gopinath Prasad Prabhu, his disciple, he asks about one person. Not about Gaurang Prabhu or Radha Gopinath Prabhu. What about Sri Vishwamur Prabhu? So one of the main reasons why I requested was I could spend some time with him. It has been, after BT days, we never got any quality time to spend with each other, because I went to GV and he stayed back in Chowpatty. So I'm hoping that he would like it here and continue. So that he can get his association. Okay. So we have been discussing the, we started discussing the first chapter of 6th canto, the history of the life of Ajamil. I think we can reduce the volume a little bit. How is it? Maybe you can turn. So just a quick recap of what we have seen in the first 14 verses. Parikshit Maharaj starts this canto by presenting what he has heard till now, and heard and assimilated till now. He says, Nivritti marga katita adau bhagavata yata krama yogopalabdena brahmana yad asamsritihi. My dear Shukadeva Goswami, you have discussed about how one can put an end, one of the ways of putting an end to this samsara, repeated birth in this material world, is you mentioned about the krama yoga or the krama mukti, which was the first thing that he spoke in the second canto. That's when the conversation between Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadeva Goswami started. Then he said, Pravritti lakshanas cheva traigunya vishayo mune yosav alina prakrite guna sarga puna puna. So yatra kale tvana vrittim avrittim cheva yogina. So what is that path by that one takes by which one never comes back, and what is that path that one takes by which one, you know, punarapi jananam punarapi maranam. You also spoke about the nature of pravritti marga, the path of repeatedly going back, going up and coming down. Shine punya marti lokam vishanti. So I have understood it. Adharma lakshana nana narakascha anuvarnitaha manvantarascha vyakyata adya swayambhuvo yataha. You have also described the varieties of hellish life that is experienced by people who are engaged in adharmic activities. And you have also described about the lineage of Swayambhuva Manu. Started from third canto onwards. Priyavratottanapadir vamshastha charitanicha dvipa varsha samudra adri nadi udyana vanaspatin dharamandala samsthanam bhagalakshanamanataha jyotisham vivaranam cha yatedam asrijat vibuhu. You also spoke about the lineage of Priyavrat Maharaj, and you also spoke about the whole Vedic cosmology, about the geography of various islands and mountains and oceans and things like that, and you also spoke about the other luminaries which are above Bhumandala. Aduneha mahabhaga yataiva narakan naraha nana ugra yatanan na iya tanme vyakyatum arhasi. But the question which is deeply troubling me now is, I feel extremely bad for those people who go and suffer such hellish suffering in these hellish planets. So how can they be saved? Please tell me. Shukadeva Goswami is going to test Parikshit Maharaj now. So he says, Nachet iva ihaiva apachitim yatam hasaha kritasya kuryan mana uktapani bihi dhruvam savai pretya narakan upaiti ye kirtita me bhavata stigmayatana. My dear Parikshit, Nachet kuryat apachitim. Apachitim is karmakandiya atonement. Nachet, if one does not atone for all the sins that he has performed through the process of karmakandiya atonement, for all the sins that he has committed by mana ukta panibihi, mana by his mind, ukta by his words, and panibihi by his body. Savai dhruvam narakan upaiti, that person will certainly go and suffer in hell, and which inflict intense pain after death. So therefore he says that one has to perform atonements. Tasmat puraivashu iha papa nishkritau yateta mrityor avipadyatatmana doshasya drishtva guru lagavam yata bishat chikitseta rujam nidanavit. Just like if you are afflicted with some ailment and you are going through some physical trouble, you go to a doctor who assesses your situation, and then he sees whether is it a guru or lagu. is the disease guru or lagu? He evaluates, and accordingly he gives a medicine. Similarly, there are people who can assess the nature of your sin, and they will appropriately suggest guru or lagu atonement. So therefore, if you have committed a serious crime, then a very severe atonement will be suggested, but by which you will at least nullify the reaction for that particular sin that you have committed. And if it is something insignificant, he will suggest a very simple solution for it. So I think, in my opinion, this is what one should do, atonement. Parikshit Maharaj says, Drishta Shrutabhyam Yat Papam Janan Api Atmano Ahitam Karoti Bhuyo Vivashah Prayaschittam Ato Katam. Drishta Shrutabhyam Yat Papam. This person knows, he has heard that it is sinful to commit this act. He has seen people suffering due to the reactions of living a sinful life. Jananapi, even though he knows, Atmano Ahitam, that it is very unbeneficial for oneself, Karoti Bhuyo Vivashah, he is still helplessly pushed to commit the same sinful activity. Prayaschittam Ato Katam, therefore I really doubt what is the efficacy of this kind of a prayaschitta process. Vachin Nivartade Abhadrat Kochit Charati Tatpunaha Prayaschittam Ato Apartam Manye Kunjara Shauchavat. Kvachin Nivartate Abhadrat. Sometimes he refrains from committing this sinful activity. Why? Abhadrat. Kvachin Nivartate Abhadrat. So he knows that it is abhadra, not that he does not know. So therefore he refrains. Kvachit charati tat punaha, but still he engages in that same sinful act sometimes. Why? Vivashaha. Because he is helplessly pushed in that direction. Prayaschittam ato apartam. Therefore I conclude, he is not even suggesting to Shukadeva Goswami, he is giving his conclusion. Ato means, therefore, means I have concluded. Apartam, I think it is useless. Manye kunjara shauchavat, it is just like an elephant taking bath. I found this quite amusing actually. Last time also we discussed about it. He is rejecting prayaschitta for a very strange reason. For certain symptoms that I've seen in a person who has accepted the path of prayaschitta, based on those symptoms he is rejecting prayaschitta. What are the symptoms? Karoti bhuyo vivashah. That person who has committed the prayaschitta, performed the prayaschitta, he is after some time seen to helplessly perform the same sinful activity. Kvachin nivartate abhadrat, kvachit charati tat punah. So recently I was speaking to a group of devotees and I was sharing, does this sound familiar? So everyone started laughing. Because even amongst devotees who have accepted the path of devotional service, the symptom is there. And that's why Krishna is telling to Uddhava, Jata Shraddho Matkatasu Nirvinna Sarvakarmasu Veda Dukkatmakam Kaman, which means he know Abhadra, but Parityage Api Anishwarah, he is still not able to give up. Which means sometimes he helplessly indulges in the very same activity which he knows that it is very sinful, unbeneficial, and non-prescribed. So this is quite interesting, because he is rejecting prayaschitta for a reason, for particular symptoms, and the same symptom, and when later in 4 verses later, when he is going to suggest kechit kevalaya bhaktya, interestingly Parikshit Maharaj has no issues. Here he is directly refuting. Later when he presents the path of jnana, at least the acharya has mentioned that he was not very happy. But after suggesting bhakti, the acharyas, neither is he directly refuting, nor are the acharyas even suggesting that Parikshit Maharaj was unhappy with the solution given by Shukadeva Goswami. So how is it that Parikshit Maharaj, even though the very same symptoms are present in devotees also, how is it that he is not he could have rejected prayaschitta for other reasons, but he is rejecting prayaschitta for a particular reason which is seen in devotees also. Sometimes they also helplessly indulge. They also know that it is abhadra. So how is it that Parikshit Maharaj is not rejecting the path of bhakti for the same reason? Because he has observed, he is a practitioner of devotional service, and he, and within his kingdom, most of his subjects would fall within the category of karma only. So he must have seen, he must have observed people taking up to this path of prayaschitta, helplessly succumbing to the very same vices which they are trying to avoid. And based on his own experience and observing devotees, he must have seen devotees also, at least in the earlier stages of their practice, succumbing to the very same vices. So why is he not rejecting the path of bhakti?
Whereas prayaschittam is just it's not so internalized.
So the point is, this is not the first time Parikshit Maharaj is hearing about the nature of bhakti. It is not that before Shukadeva Goswami illuminated him on the path of bhakti, he didn't know anything about bhakti. He has been a practitioner of bhakti. He had decided to fast till death and perform bhakti only. And he was not a sadhaka. He was a siddha already. So he perfectly knew the nature of bhakti. So therefore, he understood that even though the symptoms are present in the initial stage, because anartha nivritti is ekadesha vartini, bahudesha vartini, prayiki, purna, atyantiki, but the process is capable. But the karmakandiya process actually has no potency, actually has no provision to remove the sinful desire itself. So therefore, the sinful desires which are present in a sincere practitioner of devotional service are mentioned to be like a snake with broken fangs. You know, it will keep hissing every now and then, but it will not generate sinful reactions. And the process, because it is working, will keep on weakening those sinful desires and eventually remove them. So because Shukadeva Goswami suggested a process which is capable of removing the sinful desires, therefore Parikshit Maharaj does not raise any issue. Otherwise, if he was not just talking about the symptom alone, even though it seems like that, he was actually addressing something more deeper than just the symptoms. He was also talking about the efficacy of the process itself to actually remove these desires. Karmakanda has no capability of doing that. So therefore, he is raising this point. Otherwise, it's quite interesting that he and this point is brought out in one of the later verses, purport by Srila Vishnu Jagadish Thakur. So we will discuss that when we come to that point. Any quick comments, questions based on what we discussed till now? Of course, we discussed this last time also. It has been some time.
That yoga ladder is there.
Yoga ladder, yeah.
So in that progression of practitioner from one stage to next and subsequent stages, it happens not because of those processes but due to element of bhakti, some element of bhakti.
Every stage has the element of bhakti.
So that progression is
in some stage in some stages the progression is automatic. Like for example, from nishkama karma to sakama karma to nishkama karma is more or less like if you it happens, that change of attitude starts happening over a period of time.
Without bhakti also?
Without bhakti there is no nishkama sakama karma yoga only, no? So sakama karma yoga by default means it has the element of bhakti. Without the element of bhakti, it is not sakama karma yoga.
Every part of yoga has to have a small element of
bhakti. At least a small element of bhakti. Yeah.
And that progression is due to that element of bhakti only, not process alone.
Yeah, it's all together. Each one contributes. But of course the that particular only because of the element of bhakti, that particular path is actually fruit giving. So Sheila, yes, Tamal, going to, can you pass the mic? While practicing the limbs of devotional service, I'll repeat your question. Yeah, is there a chance of
karmakandi attitude?
Is there a chance of karmakandi attitude?
Like for example, chanting, sometimes I say, don't chant just to complete your rounds.
See, there is a difference. If one is absolutely unaware of the sambandha jnana which is required for practicing bhakti, then such fruitive mentalities or jnanakandiya mentalities, they can creep in. But many times due to lack of taste and the anarthas troubling us, because of the powerful influence of rajogun and tamogun which are influencing our nature, we helplessly start thinking in that way, even though we know that this is not very good to think in this way. So there are two ways in which we can do absolutely lousy chanting. One is we may really have a fruitive mentality, because and fruitive mentality can creep in for two reasons. One is if we do not have the proper sambandha gyan, after coming to bhakti we don't hear, read, study. And the second way by which one fruity mentality can creep in is if we, due to asat sangha, if we start associating with other ideologies, then through that also one can get one can get such mentality. So these two ways. Otherwise, generally, when people, when devotees do chant to get their rounds done, it is just that they have not yet developed taste for chanting, and they are not seeing, they are not actually seeing something tangible, progress by chanting. So due to such reasons, and because of non-availability of very inspiring association of very inspired sadhakas, such things happen. So this is not that the person is gliding towards karmakandiya mentality, because the karmakandiya mentality is on the level of shraddha. But here he is just struggling with his swabhava, which is probably filled with either rajoguna or tamoguna impressions. So rajoguni or tamoguni vasanas. So if someone is struggling with tamoguni vasanas, you will think like, if I just complete this round, I can just go to sleep. The one who is troubled with rajoguni vasanas thinks, oh, if I can, he'll be constantly planning during chanting. It happens with me many times, and he thinks that, oh, once this gets done, I can do something practical. Not that, but in his heart of heart, he might know that this is not the best way to chant, and this attitude towards chanting is not the best. But he's actually fighting a battle, internal battle. He has not given up the fight. Just that now the rajoguni and tamoguni vasanas are overpowering him. But after some time, when he sees his fellow devotees chanting sincerely, and when he is sitting in the temple hall, and when he experiences the powerful vibration of the devotees, Srila Prabhupada and the deities, then he intermittently gets the strength to fight such pull by the vasanas. So you can't just conclude that it is karmakandiya mentality. That mentality, by the dint of existing in the material world, it is there in all of us. But it can penetrate into the zone of our conviction and value system if we take bad association. Especially unfavorable ideologies. Otherwise, it will stay in our swabhava and keep troubling us. Like that. That's my understanding. Okay, so Srila Sukadeva Goswami answers the question. Karmana karmanirharo nahi atyantika ishyate. You are very correct actually, my dear Parikshit Maharaj. Karmana karmanirharo nahi atyantika ishyate. Actually, it is not possible to completely counteract the sin by performing some atonement. Why? Avidvat adhikaritvat. Because the atonement is also done with bodily identification only. So the atonement is also done not for escaping this material world and reinstating ourselves in the constitutional position, but to get a better material position only. So therefore, this prayaschitta, as you said, is right. It's not very effective. Therefore, I suggest prayaschittam vimarshanam. So real atonement is attaining jnana. नाश्नतः पत्यमेवान्नं व्याधयो अभिभवतिः अभिभवन्तिः एवं नियमकृत राजन् क्षणैः क्षेमाय कल्पते. डिसीजेस डू नॉट अफ्लिक्ट अ पर्सन हु इज ईविंग पत्य अन्न प्रॉपर फूड नॉट विरुद्ध आहार प्रॉपर फेवरेबल फूड दैट विच सूट्स हिज बॉडी एवं इन द सेम वे नियमकृत राजन. One who properly follows the rules that lead one to achieving the perfection of jnana, shanaihi kshemaya kalpate, gradually he becomes qualified for jnana. So, what are those do's and don'ts which help one gradually come to the position of jnana? Tapasa brahmacharyena shamena cha damena cha tyagena satya shauchabhyam yamena niyamena va देहवाग् बुद्धिजं धीरा धर्मज्ञा श्रद्धयान्विताः क्षिपन् जगम् महदपि वेणुगुल्मम् इवानलः. He says तपसा ब्रह्मचर्येण शमेन च दमेन च त्यागेन सत्य शौचाभ्याम् यमेन नियमेन वा देह वाग् बुद्धिजं धीरा. By this practice of these limbs, by these processes, Deha, Vag, Buddhijam. So, that is his constitutional position. Even the, he always sits there. So, Deha, Vag, Buddhijam, Dira. Agham. Those sins which are arising out of deha, body, vak, words, buddhi, intelligence, jam, born out of, kshipanti, it can be destroyed by attaining perfection on the path of jnana through performing these preliminary limbs of jnana. And what is the nature of the destruction of agha, sin? Venu gulmam iva analaha. Just like a forest fire destroys a huge forest of bamboo trees in the same way, but it does not destroy the roots. So therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is not happy, which is not explicitly mentioned here, but the Acharyas do explain that Parikshit Maharaj was not happy. And when the rain comes, because the roots have not yet been destroyed, again you bamboo forest springs from those undestroyed roots. Similarly, the root of sin is the sinful vasanas. So, and the root of sinful vasana, actually even vasanas can be destroyed by other processes. But why did the person develop material vasanas? Avidya is material vasanas. Why did he develop material vasanas?
Misidentification. He forgot his connection with Krishna.
That is the main point. Because of an envious attitude towards Krishna. Krishna Bahirmukha. So, actually destroying the vasanas does not actually rectify the situation, because the body was given and vasanas were superimposed on the living entity. Because he became Krishna Bahirmukh, and just by erasing the vasanas, is actually solving the root cause of the problem, which is favorableness towards Krishna. Anukulyena Krishnanashilanam. So favorableness has not been fanned. Just by removing the vasanas does not actually solve the real problem of removing that envy from the heart of the living entity. So in that sense also, this is Venu Gulmam Iva Anala, because the real root of the problem is envy towards Krishna. That is not solved. Otherwise, material vasanas can be destroyed by other processes. That is possible. It may not be as effective as the path of bhakti, but still it is possible. Nishkama Karma Yoga does it. And Ashtanga Yoga also, through the earlier stages of Ashtanga Yoga, Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, etc., along with practice of one's prescribed duties from in a detached way, actually has the capability of destroying vasanas. That is how he becomes qualified for performing Jnana Yoga. So therefore, here, when he says that it does not destroy the root does not the actual root is not even, the actual root is not material vasanas. There is a root for material desires also, material vasanas also, that is actually envy towards Krishna. That wanting to enjoy separately from Krishna is not rectified by even the process of jnana. He just wants to enjoy in a different way. That's all. So that does not actually solve the root cause of the problem. Therefore, now Shukadev Goswami is going to suggest the last option. This is where we have to start today's discussion. But before we start today's discussion, if there is any quick comment, or if there are some questions, then few minutes we will take and then we will start today's discussion.
So what is it in Greek? Something like the root of our tendency to sin is material vasana, and the root of material vasana is envy towards Krishna.
Yeah, because envy towards Krishna and wanting to enjoy separately from Krishna. Because we want to enjoy separately from Krishna, Krishna has facilitated it by giving us a material body and some material vasanas, which will inspire material desires, which will inspire material action, and then we can enjoy the results of that material action. So the real root of the whole thing is the nature of being Krishna Bahirmukh. So that unless that is rectified, the real solution is not there actually. So that is another understanding of Venu Gulmam Ivanala, how the actual root is not destroyed. Yes, Akhila.
Like we are discussing about atonement, so when devotee, like as a devotee, when we are committing some mistakes, so it's only when we say something about mistakes, then the recommendation is like you can chant long. So do bodily platform,
also help or depends on. Okay, if I understand your question right, if devotees commit a mistake, then they are recommended that you chant more.
Maybe he slipped from his practice.
Which means he stopped practicing bhakti,
no, sure.
or he broke some regulative principles like that. Okay, so
like giving atonement first on body level, like it's recommended or you can directly suggest
them? Like what kind of atonement? I don't understand. Can you suggest?
Like not simple, like sometimes one regularly one end up. Even though he was eating more more or overeating.
Overeating.
Causing him and depriving morning and something. So
okay.
Sometimes a devotee by himself will take an atonement, I will not meet him like that. So it's coming on body level.
Oh, that is like that comes within the consideration of anukulyasya sankalpo. That is not avidvat adhikaritvat. He mentions that what is the problem with karmana karmanirharo nahi atyantika ishyate avidvat adhikaritvat prayaschittam vimarshanam, he says. Avidvat adhikaritvat means he is still practicing the prayaschitta with the improper identification, bodily identification. Whereas here, the devotee, he is also putting himself under some kind of a regimen because he understands that if I overeat, especially at night, then I will not be able to wake up early or I will feel sleepy during morning japa. So this decision has been taken with the consideration of what is anukul to bhakti and what is pratikul to bhakti. Whereas the path of prayaschitta, even though similar atonements may be there in the karmakandiya process also, but it is with the understanding that, look, if you do this atonement, then you can escape suffering and you can enjoy. So even though similar process may be there from an external point of view, one is taken with the consideration of anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam and another is performed with the understanding of I can enjoy dukkha nivritti and sukha pravritti. So therefore, when Krishna also says that sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja, he is not literally recommending someone to give up his dharma. What he is actually recommending is change the paradigm of functioning. Your paradigm of functioning should be, is it pleasing Krishna or is it displeasing Krishna? Is it pleasing Guru or is it displeasing Guru? Is it pleasing to the Vaishnavas or is it displeasing to the Vaishnavas? Start inculcating this value system. So basically what Krishna is appealing to Arjuna is actually change your value system. Let your value system not be, so when one begins, one starts with the value system of what I like is good, what I don't like is bad. This is Swabhavajam Shraddha, which is not supported by Shastras. When he starts taking up to Shastra, then when he starts taking Karmakanda, so his value system becomes whatever the Shastra recommends as being favorable for my enjoyment, I will do that. And whatever the Shastras recommend that it will in the long term become an obstacle for my enjoyment by giving me sinful reactions, I will refrain. This is one value system which is higher than whatever I like is good for me, whatever I don't like is bad for me. Then when he comes to the level of Nishkama Karma Yoga, then his value system changes, where he thinks whatever is dharmic is according to my dharma, dharmasya sankalpo adharmasya varjanam. That is his value system. And then from there, when he comes to the stage of jnana, then his value system becomes any activity that will take me towards merging into Brahman, sankalpo, rest all varjanam. Even dharma becomes varjanam only at that stage. But when one comes to the stage of bhakti, he develops a different value system. anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. So all these instructions that Krishna is giving is not, it's not about activity at all. It's about value system. It's about the paradigm of thought. What is your parameter of for making choices in your life? Is it based on whether it is dharmic or adharmic? Or should it be based on whether it is pleasing to Krishna or not? And many times, or most of the times, if you see, that which is dharmic, that which is anukul for bhakti, will 99% be dharmic also. 1%, there may be certain things which may be anukul for bhakti, but not so anukul for his dharma. In that case, so therefore when Krishna is telling Arjuna, sarvadharman parityajya, sarvadharman includes his varna dharma, his ashrama dharma, his pati dharma, his pita dharma, everything. But after hearing this, Arjuna did not give up any of these things. He fought, which means he did not give up his kshatriya dharma. He took care of his children, which means he did not give up his pita dharma. He took care of his wife, which means he did not give up his pati dharma. He took care of his citizens, which means he did not give up his rajya dharma. Nothing he gave up while parallelly practicing sarvadharman parityajya. How? Because he was doing all of that because Krishna wanted him to do. He didn't fight because he was a kshatriya. He fought because Krishna wanted him to do. Otherwise, he actually did not want to fight. That's what Prabhupada says. Arjuna did not want to fight, but after hearing Bhagavad Gita, he fought because Krishna wanted him to fight, not because he was a kshatriya. Similarly, he took care of his wife, children, everything, not just because, if I give up all these things, it will be sinful. Not because of such a consideration. Because all of them were Vaishnavas. Because that's what Krishna wanted him to do. So the consideration, the paradigm, the value system is what Krishna is pushing Arjuna to change when he says sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. So therefore, even though this is in response to Akhilatma Pran Prabhu's query, that what defines atonement is not the act itself. What defines atonement is the value system based on which you decide to do that activity. So if devotees also do some physical extra fasting or extra chanting or something, it is not karmakandiya prayaschitta. It is actually bhakti only. Nay, karmakandis also have a value system, but it is a lower value system. It is adharmic, so you will suffer. It is dharmic, so you will enjoy. That is their value system. Devotee sees, Krishna does not like it, so I will refrain. Krishna wants me to do it, so I will do it. Even though both of them may end up doing the same activity, neither is the karmakandi practicing bhakti, nor is the bhakta practicing karmakanda. They both are individually practicing their own activity. Even though the same activity is being performed, a devotee takes care of his family and a dharmic person takes care of his family, but that does not mean both are doing the same thing. They are doing the same thing externally, but internally the driving force is different. That is exactly what defines what is the practice that he is doing. not just the external activity itself. It's the value system that is driving that activity. Okay? Okay, so now Shukadeva Goswami is going to speak this famous verse. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayanaha adham danvanti katsnena niharam iva bhaskaraha. How many of you have not memorized this verse? Rup Sharan Prabhu. Most of you have memorized. So he says kechit, but some people indicates rarity, only some people take. Vasudeva Parayana, who have surrendered to Krishna, agham dhunvanti katsnyena. Katsnyena means completely. Dhunvanti means to destroy. Agham is sense. They completely destroy sense. Not like the forest fire burning of the bamboo forest. They address the root is also destroyed. That is the meaning of agham dhunvanti katsnyena. Niharam iva bhaskaraha. Just as sun destroys fog. So if that root cause is not addressed, it is not actual destruction only. Like I think I gave this example of while I was in Gokuldam once. There, the first day I was giving a seminar there. Harinam Chintamani. So they had kept a clock, and I had been speaking for almost 1 hour. It started at 9 o'clock, and after 1 hour I saw it was still showing 9 o'clock only. And I told the devotee, the clock is showing wrong time. So he came running, he changed it from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, kept it there, went and sat. So, is it showing the right time now?
Yes.
Yes. I continued speaking for another 1 hour. After about an hour, it is showing 10 o'clock. So, the point is, Prayaschitta does this kind of rectification. You know, if it is do one activity and make it from 10 to 11 once more, the real problem is that the battery is dead. So then, you know, interestingly we were discussing the same topic, almost like the same topic, you know, the ability of bhakti to destroy everything, but you know, the other process are incompetent to destroy the real root of the problem. So I use the same example there to explain, and then he realized, and then he ran and searched for a battery. Of course, in Gokuldam, you know, these are things you don't get because they are completely off grid. No electricity, nothing. So he somehow found one battery and put it, and it started working actually. So so these other processes do not address the real root of the problem, because the root is not destroyed, again and again something starts sprouting from there. But here he says agham dunvanti katsnyena. Katsnyena is complete. Niharam iva bhaskaraha. Niharam is fog or dew. Bhaskara is sun. And when the sun comes and you know, you see dew, but when it is like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, when the sun is really shining, you can't tell, show me the places in which dew was there. It is completely, you can't tell at all. Unless if it is a very dusty place, and fog, you know, if dew forms there, wherever it has formed a dew, you will see you will not see much dust there. But it is just a question of time. At 12 o'clock you go, everything will look the same because dust has accumulated on that spot also. So bhakti does a thorough job of destroying the actual root of the problem, which is envy towards Krishna. How does it destroy? By creating an appetite for establishing a loving relationship with Krishna. Where there is a loving relationship, there is no envy. That's exactly what bhakti does, by creating the appetite for establishing a loving relationship with Krishna. So Srila Vishwanatha Thakur mentions, in the example of the fire destroying bamboo, it is possible that the bamboo can grow up again. Thus, even after practicing jnana, sins can reappear. Seeing the dissatisfied Parikshit, which is not explicitly mentioned, Shukadev, this is Vishwanatha Thakur's insight into the pastime. Seeing the dissatisfied Parikshit, Shukadev then speaks about the solution according to the devotees. Some, Kechit, here indicates that those who surrender to Vasudeva are very rare. That's why only Kechit. Kevalaya Bhaktya indicates that this bhakti is not only devoid of karma and jnana, devoid of expecting material benefits or liberation, but in no way depends on karma or jnana as secondary elements also. So not only is it Anyabhilashita Shunyam, but it is Jnana Karmadi Anavritam also. So Anyabhilashita Shunyam indicates purity of Prayojan, and Jnana Karmadi Anavritam indicates purity of Abhideya. So what makes bhakti into Uttama Bhakti is when the Prayojan is pure and the Abhideya is also pure. One may have a pure Prayojan, but may think that the means of attaining that pure Prayojan of pleasing Krishna is through Varnashram or through Jnana Marg, like that. So in that case, the bhakti is Anyabhilashita Shunya Bhakti, but it is not Jnana Karmadi Anavrita Bhakti. But there might be other cases where the person thinks, I want to attain some material benefits, but the means of attaining that material benefit is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. So he has that. So he believes in pure Abhideya, but using that pure Abhideya, he wants to attain an impure objective. So, but Uttama Bhakti means the Abhideya must be pure and the Prayojan must also be pure. Only then it is called as Uttama Bhakti. So therefore, Anyabhilashita Uttama Bhakti means having no other desire other than the desire to please Krishna through Navada Bhakti. This is the complete understanding. It is not just having no other desire other than the desire to please Krishna. And how to please Krishna? I will run Thane Marathon, you know, on Sundays, or, you know, last week I was going to Kargar by bus from Mira Road to Thane, and from Thane I was going to catch a train to Kargar. So, you know, throughout, actually, literally from almost till I saw people running at what is it? Kasar Vadavali. This is Kapur Bavadi. Kasar Vadavali is further ahead towards Ghorbandar. From there till almost Thane station they were running. And then I went by train, got in from Kargar station. I took a rickshaw to Kargar temple. From station till Kargar temple they were different group. They were running marathon. So one may think that I have no other desire other than the desire to please Krishna. So how are you going to accomplish it? Every Sunday running marathon. Okay. So that is not the right understanding. Or one may say, what is your desire? I want to become the richest person on the planet. That Guru Maharaj has thought. And how do you intend to accomplish it? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam. So in this case, he has the right abhideya, but the prayojan is impure. So therefore, the proper understanding is of Uttama Bhakti is having no other desire other than the desire to please Krishna through Navada Bhakti. So that covers both the sambandha, both the prayojan and abhideya. Like that. Yes. After practicing?
Yes, even after practicing jnana, sins
jnana.
Can reappear.
Sins can reappear.
You said the material impressions or vasanas are
gone.
Are gone. Tendencies are not gone. That's why it is reappear.
But the envy is not gone. So Kevalaya Bhaktiya indicates that this bhakti is not only devoid of karma and jnana, as in the abhideya, as the prayojan of karma and jnana, which is material benefits or liberation, that is free, but in no way depends on karma or jnana as secondary elements also in the form of practice, abhideya. Completely katsanyena indicate that sin is completely uprooted only by bhakti and by no other process, just as only the sun can destroy the fog. Is it clear? Can someone?
Just for the analogy only, like, I was thinking this analogy of sun I have heard in the past also. So always I used to think, you know, okay, in Bombay it's okay, when the sun comes, the fog goes away. But there are so many other parts where, for the world, when the sun looks like moon in the broad daylight. And what is it?
So, so this indicates where access to sun is not impeded by the clouds. That's what it means. Otherwise sun is there during night also. We can't see. So Niharam Yo Bhaskara indicates where there is ample access of sunlight in such a place. Otherwise sunlight is there outside also. If the fog is there inside or the dew is there inside, it cannot destroy. Or if sunlight is there, you put a shade, umbrella or something. So the point is, where that access to sunlight is not impeded either by cloud or a man-made obstruction, then that sunlight has the capacity to dry up that fog or dew. That's what it means. Okay. Someone can Ashray Gopal start reading purport.
In the previous verse, Shukdev Goswami gave the example that the dried leaves of creepers beneath a bamboo tree may be completely burnt to ashes by a fire, although the creepers may sprout again, because the root is still in the ground. Similarly, because the root of sinful desire is not destroyed in the heart of a person who is cultivating knowledge, but who has no taste for devotional service, there is a possibility that his sinful desires will reappear. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Shreya Shrutim Bhaktim Udasya Te Vibho Klishanti Ye Kevala Bodhalabdhaye. Speculators who undergo great labor to gain a meticulous understanding of the material world by distinguishing between sinful and pious activities, but who are not situated in devotional service, are prone to material activities. They may fall down and become implicated in fruitive activities. If one becomes attached to devotional service, However, his desires for material enjoyment are automatically vanquished without separate endeavor.
Of course, this is due to param drishtva nivartate. So both are happening. Anartha nivritti is happening. Therefore, the force with which the material desire is haunting him keeps subsiding, because the vasanas are also destroyed by bhakti. At the same time, artha pravritti is also happening. He is developing a fulfilling relationship with Krishna also, a fulfilling relationship with devotees, a fulfilling relationship with the process of bhakti. All of this is also giving him fulfillment, because the one tries to gratify the senses because of a lack of fulfillment. So when the more one gets fulfilled, then one does not seek gratification through sense gratification. Therefore, we discussed last time one of the some of the symptoms of depression. You know, when person becomes depressed, addictions, he becomes a very easy prey to addictions, like drug addiction, alcohol addiction, smoking, pornography addiction, binge eating, non-stop they keep eating all the time. Because somehow the understanding is that I will get more fulfilled. So the lack of fulfillment through proper relationships manifests in the form of all these sins indulgences. So because the person is anadrita yushmadangra, he has no fulfilling relationship with Krishna, he is skating on very flimsy ice. It can break any time. So and he will fall inside. Now that's what Prabhupada is talking about. That's why such people give up all their practice and come back to politics, because not much fulfilling like that.
Bhakti parishanubhava virakti ranyatricha. If one is advanced in Krishna consciousness, material activities, both sinful and pious, automatically become distasteful to him. That is the test of Krishna consciousness. Both pious and impious activities are actually due to ignorance, because a living entity as an eternal servant of Krishna has no need to act for his personal sense gratification,
because Krishna is fulfilling it. See, sense gratification, we see that we see it as an absolute necessity, because there is no, we are not experiencing the higher fulfillment. We are not experiencing a higher emotion, powerful emotion. So the sense gratification is on a very low level actually. When we are going through very powerful emotions, like for example, if a very dear relative has passed away, we don't think of food for a long time actually. Because we are so much consumed by the emotion that the bodily need takes a very, becomes insignificant. Similarly, when we are experiencing the fulfillment, or the same holds true to even experiencing an extremely joyful thing, like when someone is going for his convocation or something like that. So what else materially can you think of? So So, you know, the person says, you know, he may think that, oh, no, he may not even remember to eat, anticipating that time that. But when that fulfillment is not there at a higher level, then it manifests on a very gross bodily level. So to address the root, therefore, even in the life of renunciants, if there is no fulfilling relationship, then over a period of time, it can manifest in the form of these kind of tendencies. So, it's not that a renunciant in bhakti is different actually. A renunciant in bhakti has, he actually gets the perfect kind of fulfillment through perfect spiritual relationships with devotees. So, in the absence of it, it manifests in various perverted ways. So therefore, we have to be very careful to always keep like we were discussing last time, the solution for Hriday Daurbalyam. Very powerful point. I found this very striking actually. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, he says, Hriday Daurbalyam, which manifests in the form of envy, fault finding, succumbing to lust and things like that. This weakness of heart, the solution for this anartha, he says, is practice NOI 4. Dadati pratigrinnati guyamakyati prachati bungte bojayate cheva shadvidam priti lakshanam. Because the heart is weak because it is not nourished with affection. Nourish it with affection, you will realize that you are not succumbing to fault finding, envy and lusty thoughts, things like that. So, you can't just keep addressing the symptoms. You have to address the root. So the root of this whole perversion is actually lack of fulfillment. So that's what he is indicating here. He says that as an eternal servant of Krishna has no need to act for his personal sense gratification, because he is perfectly satisfied in his relationship with Krishna, and Krishna is personally endeavoring to fulfill his needs. Yoga kshemam vahamyaham, like that. Yeah.
This somebody is facing all other problems, you should practice the same way. But usually we understand I should practice more intensely or more quantity. So is it continue or
along with that you should do this also.
This is also necessary when you understand.
Yeah, if it was not necessary, why would Rupa Goswami write about it? Because he is condensing the whole spiritual teachings in 11 verses. Just 11 verses. Of which the last 3-4 verses are like half prayojan only. The first 7-8 verses are only actually sadhana. 8 verses. So in 8 verses only he is encapsulating the whole process. 3 of those 8 verses he has attributed to associating with devotees. So first is dadati pratigrinnati guyamakyati prachati bungte bojayate cheva shadvidam priti lakshanam. 6 exchanges with 3 kinds of devotees. Krishnetiyasya giritam manasadriyeta Dikshasti chet pranate vischa bhajanta mesham. Shushrushaya bhajana vigyam ananyam anya nindadi shunya hridam ipsita sangalabhya. And he does not leave it there. Have these six exchanges with them. He says, but while you are trying to have these six exchanges, don't try to judge them based on their conditionings. Drishtair svabhava janitair vapushascha dosher na prakritatvam iha bhakta janasya pashyed gangambaso nakalu budbuddha fena pankair brahmatvavatvam apagacchati nira dharmair. Like that he says. So, if it was not so important, why he would, you know, spend three verses to actually emphasize the importance of association. Not only that, in the second verse he says, Adhyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha, avoiding unfavorable association. And then the next verse he also talks about sangatyagat sato vritte. So, and actually, this Janasanga and Sangatyaga has their roots in verse number 4, 5, 6. Because Satsangat Mukta Dussango. So, you cannot actually give up Asatsanga without having Satsanga. Because Sangha is the need of the soul. You can't deprive it of that. So, you have to have a replacement. So, actual asatsanga tyaga is not at all possible without proper fulfilling association. Because that vacuum has to be, filled actually. Yes, Shiv Shambhu.
I just got this idea in my mind that we practice some process of bhakti, like chanting more or reading more, if we do something. And here the focus is on nourishing
relationship with devotees. So I was thinking that when you practice devotional service, in that's when that association is spiritual.
Mm.
So then 1 + 1 is not 2; it becomes 11.
Mm.
Correct. So that tower of that devotional service is having that strength to remove the anarthas that we are trying to.
Correct. Correct. True. That's what it means. Sangha means, satsanga means what? Doing sat activities in sangha with sat people. Like that.
Therefore, as soon as one is reclaimed to the platform of devotional service, he relinquishes his attachment for pious and impious activities and is interested only in what will satisfy Krishna.
This is the essence, actually, you see. Powerful statement Prabhupada is writing. Therefore, as soon as one is reclaimed to the platform of devotional service, he does not say he relinquishes pious and impious activities. He relinquishes his attachment for pious and impious activities and is interested in only in what will satisfy Krishna. This is the point that we were trying to discuss. This is the meaning of nadharmam, nadharmam, shrutigana niruktam kilakuru. Raghunath Das Goswami says, don't do dharma, don't do adharma, he says. He is not asking him to give up dharma and adharma. He is asking him to shift his paradigm. Shift your attachment, not the activity. Vraje Radha Krishna Prachura Paricharyam Ihatanu, he says. The same thing Prabhupada is telling, that he relinquishes his attachment for pious and impious activities and is interested only in what will satisfy Krishna. If Krishna says do dharma, he does. If Krishna says, I'll be pleased if you tell a lie, he tells a lie. Yeah.
This process of bhakti, devotion service to Krishna, Vasudeva Parayana, relieves one from the reactions of all activities. Since Maharaj Parikshit was a great devotee, the answers of his guru, Shukdev Goswami, concerning Karmakand and Jnanakand could not satisfy him. Therefore, Shukdev Goswami, knowing very well the heart of his disciple, explained the transcendental bliss of devotional service. The word kechit, which is used in this verse, means a few people, but not all. Not everyone can become Krishna consciousness. As Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanaham sahasreshu kaschid yateti siddhaye yatadam api siddhanam kaschin maam veti tattvatah. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Practically no one understands Krishna as he is, for Krishna cannot be understood through pious activities or attainment of the most elevated speculative knowledge. Actually, the highest knowledge consists of understanding Krishna. Unintelligent men who do not understand Krishna are grossly puffed up, thinking that they are liberated or have themselves become Krishna or Narayan. This is ignorance. To indicate the purity of bhakti, devotional service, Srila Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmad Yanavritam Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material gain, material profit or gain through fruitive activities of philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami further explains that bhakti is kleshagni shubhada, which means if one takes to devotional service, all kinds of unnecessary labor and material distress cease entirely and one achieves all good fortune. Bhakti is so powerful that it is also said to be moksha lagutakrit. In other words, it minimizes the importance of liberation. Non-devotees must undergo material hardships because they are prone to commit sinful fruitive activities. The desire to commit sinful actions continues in their hearts due to ignorance. These sinful actions are divided into three categories, Pataka, Mahapataka and Atipataka, and also into two divisions, Prarabdha and Aprarabdha. Prarabdha refers to sinful reactions from which one is suffering at the present, and Aprarabdha refers to sources of potential suffering. When the seeds, bij, of sinful reactions have not yet fructified, the reactions are called Aprarabdha.
This is like NOD is explaining all of that.
These seeds of sinful action are unseen, but they are unlimited, and no one can trace when they were first planted. Because of prarabdha, sinful reactions that...
So what is this? Anadikarama phalhe.
Because of prarabdha, sinful reactions that have already fructified, one is seen to have taken birth in a low family or to be suffering from other miseries. When one takes to devotional service, however, all phases of sinful life, including prarabdha...
He is directly writing from NOD only. You see? Then he quotes, Bhakti destroys prarabdha karma. First verse that Rupa Goswami quotes is, Yatagni su samriddharchi karot yedam si basmasat, tatamad vishaya bhaktir uddavenam si kritsnashah. Then he says how bhakti destroys prarabdha karma. First is aprarabdha karma. Then he quotes, Yannamadeya shravananu kirtanad yaprakhvanad yatsmaranad apikvachit shvadopi sadhya savanaya kalpate kutappunaste bhagavanna darshanat. So this is all directly, this whole purport is, you know, kleshagni being described directly from NOD. You can directly go to the next paragraph in the Padma Puran.
In the Padma Puran, there is a statement that persons whose heart...
Oh. Next he quotes, Aprarabdha phalam papam kutam bijam phalam. Exactly same order. Kramenaiva praliyeta Vishnu bhakti ratatmanam. That's what he's quoting. He says these reactions generally exist in four phases. Some of them are ready to produce results immediately. Some are in the form of seeds, some are unmanifested, and some are current. Aprarabdham phalam kutam papam kutam bijam and phalon mukam, like that. All such reactions are immediately nullified by devotional service. And devotional service is present in one's heart, desires to perform sinful activities have no place there. Sinful life is due to ignorance, which means forgetfulness of one's constitutional position as an eternal servant of God. So Prabhupada here is addressing the actual root cause. But when one is fully Krishna conscious, he realizes that he is God's eternal servant. You can continue.
In this regard, Srila Jiva Goswami comments that bhakti may be divided into two divisions. Santata, devotional service that continues incessantly with faith and love. And kadachitki, devotional service that does not continue incessantly but is sometimes awakened. Incessantly flowing devotional service may also be divided into two categories. Service performed with slight attachment and spontaneous devotional service.
Oh, okay.
Intermittent devotional service may be divided into three categories. Raga Bhasmi, devotional service in which one is almost attached, and Raga Bhas Shunya Swarupa Bhuta, devotional service in which there is no spontaneous love but one likes the constitutional position of serving, and Abhasa Rupa, a slight glimpse of devotional service.
So here he is quoting from Jiva Goswami's most likely it is Bhakti Sandarbha, where he is talking about two types of devotional service, Santata and Kadachitki. So Santata is in which one performs devotional service incessantly with faith and love, and Kadachitki is devotional service that does not continue incessantly but is sometimes awakened. So this is probably not Santata is Uttama Bhakti and Kadachitki is not. And he says Santata is divided into two. I think this probably refers to Vaidhi and Raganuga, probably. From, you know, service performed with slight attachment and spontaneous devotional service. And Kadachitki is divided into three: Ragabhasamayi, Ragabhasa Shunya Swarupa Bhuta, and Abhasa Rupa. So, Ragabhasamayi is devotional service which is in which one is almost attached, which means the level of attachment is superlative but not complete. He is probably little bit attached to other things also. Ragabhasa Shunya Swarupa Bhuta, devotional service in which there is no spontaneous love but one likes the constitutional position of serving. He likes it but there is no spontaneous love. And Abhasa Rupa is slight glimpse of devotional service. Yes, of course. Let's see if further explanation is coming. Prabhupada is explaining later. Let's in the rest of the purport.
As for atonement, if one has caught even a slight glimpse of devotional service, all needs to undergo prayaschit atonement are superseded, since that slight glimpse of devotional service uproots and vanquishes all the reactions of sinful life. Therefore, atonement is certainly unnecessary when one has achieved spontaneous love, and above that, attachment with love, which are signs of increasing advancement in kadachitki. Srila Jiva Goswami expresses the opinion that
I think your purport is different. Edition alag hai kya?
Okay. Even in the stage of Abhasa Rupa Bhakti, all the reactions of sinful life. Okay. As for atonement, if one has caught even a slight glimpse of devotional service, all needs to undergo prayaschit atonement are superseded. Therefore, atonement is certainly unnecessary when one has achieved spontaneous love, and above that, attachment with love, which are signs of increasing advancement, kadachit ki.
Actually, I think we need to. It's not exactly clear because this. I'm sure the concept is similar, but just different terminologies are used, which is making it a little bit confusing, but it's okay. But the point is, even if the bhakti is very preliminary, then that is capable of destroying all this. That is the understanding. One need not perform karmakandiya prayaschitta. Even if the faith has very barely awakened also, such a person need not resort to karmakandiya atonement. That's the essence of this whole purport.
Even in the stage of Abhasa Rupa Bhakti, all the reactions of sinful life are uprooted and vanquished. Srila Jiva Goswami expresses the opinion that the word Karchneena means that even if one has a desire to commit sinful actions, the roots of the desire are vanquished merely by Abhasa Rupa Bhakti. The example of Bhaskara, the sun, is most appropriate. The Abhasa feature of Bhakti is compared to twilight, and the accumulation of one's sinful activities is compared to fog. Since fog does not spread throughout the sky, the sun need do no more than merely manifest its first rays, and the fog immediately disappears. Similarly, if one has even a slight relationship with devotional service, all the fog of his sinful life is immediately vanquished.
That's how he is explaining. Niharam Iva Bhaskara. In order to explain this, he is explaining these various kinds of bhakti, in which the lowest is the Abhasa Rupa Bhakti, which falls within the category of Kada Chitki devotional service. He says even such a person need not perform atonement, that Abhasa Rupa Bhakti is also capable of destroying like that. Okay, so I think we'll pause here, and we took 10 minutes extra. So we will resume back at 11:40. So we will go from 11:40 till 2, 3 to 5. Is that okay? Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah.